we're going to come to our reading now, which is Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23.
For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen.
Wow. That's quite a short reading, and the sermon's going to be a little bit shorter than it normally is. But that is just packed with so much there, you know, in Ephesians. Written by Paul from his prison cell in Rome for the church in Ephesus and other churches in the area. Just love the way Paul writes, the way God has used him. It's just quite amazing. You know, the reading's only 13 lines in the Bible. But these nine verses tell us an abundance of what Christian faith is all about. There's a lot here. I'm just going to unravel three small sections. The message from Paul is mainly the need to know and discern God better to witness his great power for all who believe. So that message again, the need to know and discern God better to witness his great power for all who believe. I've just pulled out a couple of verses. Verses 15 to 16 to start. Since I heard about your faith in Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Very interesting. When we read something, and I'm guilty of this as well, sometimes you tend to skip the first bit and grab your attention, grabs hold of the middle bit. This first bit is really, really important because do you know what it echoes? I'll read it to you again. Since I heard about your faith in Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, what it quite simply echoes is the two most important commandments. And these are written by Mark, Matthew, and Luke in their respective Gospels. Just literally two verses. I've picked out Mark's. And this is when the religious leaders were questioning Jesus about the greatest commandment. And this is what Jesus says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second commandment is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And that's exactly how Paul starts off. You just sometimes have to read between the lines. Since I heard about your faith in Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, your neighbours. These two commandments underpin our Christian faith when you think about it. Because if we only worship God and we're good to our neighbours, There would be no death, no sin, no adultery, no war, no persecution, and the list goes on. The first commandment very much acknowledges Jesus' ministry, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. The second represents love for each other. And as I mentioned earlier, there being no evil whatsoever. If we love our neighbour, how easy that would be. The second part I've picked out for you is verses 17 to 18, which follow on. And they state the following. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I love that word, revelation. What does Jesus Christ reveal to us? But this particular verse goes on to say, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The verse does complete with the hope he has called us and the riches of his glorious inheritance. It's a lot in there, isn't it? It's only a few lines. There's so much in there. I'm going to pick on two words, revealing, revelation, and being enlightened. But first of all, the eyes of the heart. What is Paul on about? The heart having eyes. It's interesting when we think about that, isn't it? Well, the heart is a lot more than an organ pumping blood around the body. We do hear in the Bible and in everyday language very positive expressions linked to our hearts. Also some very negative expressions as well. Let's just give you a few examples. On the negative side, cold-hearted, hard hearts. That person's got a heart of stone. And somewhere between the two, broken-hearted. On the very positive side, heartfelt decision. She has a good, caring heart. Oh, it's his heart. And there are a multitude of expressions we use linking everyday life to the heart. Even with the best will in the world, we get it wrong, don't we? We say something, we think, oh, why did I say that? That was straight from my head, and I didn't go down to my heart. Another word, when you go down to your heart, is discerning. And it's a word we don't often use. And it's a word that we need to use more. Because by discerning, you're not just using your eyes, ears, however good or indifferent they are, and your mind to process information. That's very, very important. But the discerning comes from our heart. And when we think about it, we think, let's look at some of the decisions we make in our lives. Shall I take the umbrella today or not? Well, you don't have to look into your heart for that, do you? What car shall I change my car for? What am I going to eat? What present shall I buy my neighbour or my granddaughter? A lot of things can be just done by hearing, seeing, and thinking, yeah, I'll do that. But the ones where you're looking into your heart, you know, I don't know, passing a beggar on the street, having not seen anybody for a while, and wondering how to go about it, knowing that you've done something wrong that might not please God, but it was accidental. These things are all from the heart. Thinking, God's given me these skills, but how can I use them? Thinking also, God's given me all these skills over the years. Thank you, Lord, I praise you, but I don't feel well at the moment. I don't feel as fit and healthy as I should do. Actually, just going up a couple of steps on a stepladder, I start feeling dizzy. So how can I do A, B, and C like I used to? Well, God's purpose for us changes throughout our life. The purpose from a babe through to adulthood till when we are maybe less firm later in our lives. His will for us. Everything is equally important. Whether we are acting in his name, whether we are prayerful in his name, whether we're encouraging others in his name, whether we are funding a project like donating something for PCF, for example. They're equally important. There's no top 10 list there in God's eyes. So discernment is extremely important. Another comment here is the word know, knowing him better. The word know comes up twice in this particular reading. And how do we know Jesus? How do we know our neighbours? We can know more about Jesus by reading about his ways in the good book and trying our best to be a bit Jesus-like, which isn't always easy, is it, in this world? And knowing our friends by spending time with them, asking them certain questions, whether that's on the telephone, whether that's by email, that sort of communication, you go deeper. That discernment, if you like, that revelation is by going deeper. I pause just to give you time to reflect on these very, very important verses. The word wisdom is used, and we can misconstrue this by thinking, because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and because I'm getting older and done a lot of things wrong in my life, I must be getting wiser. Well, there's an element of that. Of course there is. You do something wrong, you try not to repeat it. But as it says in the good book, our wisdom is not God's wisdom at all. But by having a little bit of wisdom, by going further into the heart, by thinking more about what would Jesus do, WWJD, it ends up being his will, not our own ideas, that are revealed, and therefore us being enlightened. Just a few minutes to round up, actually, on that very interesting writing from Paul. We're coming on to verse 19 to 20, and leading to these verses as well. And it says the following in the Bible, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, just before I go on to what is probably the most important part of this passage, it's very interesting to say, to read there, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And the hope, I often think, he has plans. He has plans for us. And when you look at the calling, he has a purpose for our lives. And many of us will look back. We don't always know when we're actually doing it. But we'll look back and think, yeah, that was the work of God. That wasn't the work of me at all. Reminded me of Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 12, which I'm just going to very quickly read out to you, as I think it's very appropriate to this particular reading. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And there's that mention of the importance of the heart again. I just love that. Jeremiah 29, that's verse 11 to 13. I love that reading. One of my favourite top six, I think, readings in the Bible. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And it's interesting that he mentions the importance of prayer. And of course, the subtitle of this particular reading is Thanksgiving and Prayer. And we all know, I know, I'm talking to the converted really, aren't I? But we all know the importance of thanksgiving and prayer. But it's praying often when things are really good, we can forget to pray. And when things are really bad, we don't mean to forget to pray, But we are feeling so wounded that we can turn away from him. So it is thanksgiving and prayer at all times. I said to you there was the most important part in the in this particular reading. And many of you would have picked this up from the way Cherry, when Cherry read it. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Wow. Wow. So that connection we have through the Holy Spirit, through our hearts, with God is the same as the mighty strength God exerted to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. That's just amazing, isn't it? That is absolutely amazing. You know, you think about this God who moves mountains, who separates the waters, who feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, who gets a blind man's eyes opened, who raises Lazarus. That's the nickname of our minibus, by the way. But he raises Lazarus from the dead after 3 days. He does all these things to keep us on the right Jesus-like path, on the way. I'm not going to read out this particular reading in Isaiah, but the prophet Isaiah puts it really, really nicely. He says, "Do not fear, I am with you, I will strengthen you." And he adds in 41 verse 10, "He will uphold you with his righteous right hand." The same hand that was nailed, one or two hands of course, nailed to the cross. Friends, his mighty power for us mirrors his great love for us. Say that once more. His, God's mighty power for us mirrors God's great love for us. Amen.